think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's day 59 of the war between Israel and Hamas, and the Israelis are increasing their strikes against the Gaza Strip. They say overnight, 200 different targets were hit inside Gaza, bringing the total number to more than 10,000 since this war began on October 7th. Now, the heavy air campaign is spiking the death toll in Gaza. Authorities at the Hamas-controlled health ministry say more than 700 people were killed in a 24-hour period over the weekend. Israel still going after Hamas leadership, killing the commander of the Shati battalion in an airstrike on Sunday. Also over the weekend, they killed Wissam Farhat, the commander of Hamas's Sajaiya battalion. Farhat was responsible for the deaths of seven soldiers during the 2014 war, and he actually participated in the planning of the October 7th massacre.
Good. He's dead. Good. That was Trey Yingst of Fox News reporting on the escalation of fighting again as Israel continues to pound Gaza. And some are saying, oh, they shouldn't be doing that again. You're hitting all these innocent people. Well, unfortunately, there will be innocent casualties. But that's because Hamas continues to hide in the midst of them. And now Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces on the ground, are moving towards southern Gaza, where they told Palestinians, if you want safety, go south. They knew, obviously, that Hamas leaders would also go south for protection. And so now they're advancing on that area because the goal of Israel is the same today as it was at the end of October 7 this year. That was destroy Hamas. Not partially, destroy. And there's already being flashback, and we're going to break it down for you. This is a story that's going to continue to develop, and at some point, we'll see if the president actually breaks. He's bending and bending and sliding away from Israel, but at some point, he might actually break. That would not be good for our nation nor the world. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, December 4, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA Back to Back. Reminding you that when we're on the air for you, we're also putting up a stream from our central command right here with Quentin and me overseeing everything. You can watch it by going to Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, or you can go to News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, and of course on Rumble. And if you miss anything, video or audio, or you want to rehear it, or you want to pull it up and share it with friends, which I often encourage you to do so, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Well, with the fighting resuming, and as you heard Trey Yanks point out, we're having this at this point because with all of this activity, two things the Israelis definitely wanted to do, in addition to destroying Hamas, was get to the leaders and those who actually created the October 7 massacre plan. Yes, Israel is going to have a reckoning. Even Benjamin Netanyahu agreed with that when apparently they had known for at least several months that this plan was in existence. But even though it was uncovered by an Israeli intel officer, her superiors told her, this is in capable, they cannot carry it out. It's just fiction that they're dreaming of doing, and they ignored it. And yes, someone's going to have to pay for that. We have had U.S. ships obviously being involved in the Red Sea, where they've been fired upon, or in some cases fighting back to protect other cargo ships. Now, several Houthi ballistic missiles were fired against an Israeli-owned ship and others in the southern Red Sea. We have a U.S. destroyer in that region. It shot down multiple drones to protect them. And so far, at least at the last report, even though there were four ballistic missiles against three commercial ships in the Red Sea, including an Israeli ship, they have not shot directly at a U.S. Navy ship. But listen to the statement from former National Security Deputy Advisor K.T. McFarland.
Frankly, it's a miracle that no Americans have been killed so far.
Yeah.
You know, the Iran doesn't have a foreign military. It has proxies. It has Hezbollah. It has Hamas. It has the Houthis. And that's who's attacking American interests, American vessels, American installations. And until the United States goes to the source, not Iran, but to the source of all these attacks and blows them up, it's going to continue until Americans die. And then we do have an escalated situation.
And when it escalates to that point, if that's not World War III, it is that much closer to it. So thank God no American troops have been killed so far. And rockets and drones continue to hit some of our facilities in neighboring countries, with casualties, injuries, but we have no details of any deaths at this point. Now, Secretary Blinken, as a was leaving the other day, made a point to explain why the ceasefire is over. And I will tell you this, in the background, you're hearing a jet as he's waiting to board. It's warming up. That's why it's a little hard to hear him. But he absolutely does lay the blame for the end of the ceasefire on Hamas.
It's also important to understand why the pause came to an end. It came to an end because of Hamas. Hamas reneged on commitments it made. In fact, even before the pause came to an end, it committed an atrocious terrorist attack in Jerusalem, killing three people, wounding others, including Americans. It began firing rockets before the pause had ended, and as I said, it reneged on the commitments it made in terms of releasing certain hostages.
So they, obviously, Hamas is to blame. Was anyone really in the White House, the Secretary of State's office, did anyone really think Hamas would keep its word? You'd have to be an idiot. Well, that may explain the answer right there. Of course, they were going to break the truce. Now, a former National Security Advisor to Trump at one time was John Bolton. And some have already said that, look, if you start firing on them again, you have to worry. I'm glad we got as many hostages out as we did. But if we don't kill them accidentally, the terrorists will kill Hamas. I mean, the terrorists will end up killing the hostages they took out of Israel. Bolton says, pay attention.
Here's an interesting statistic. During the first 6 weeks of conflict, when Israel was pounding Hamas in the north and some in the south, how many hostages did Hamas kill? I think the answer to that is we're not aware of anybody they killed. And there's a reason for that. A dead hostage isn't any good to Hamas. So if we don't know that they've killed any in the first 6 weeks, why do we think they're suddenly going to start killing them if Israel resumes its military operations? Mm. I think that's bluff. But I think there's another point, too. I think they've got more than 140 hostages. They've already released a lot of other nationals people hadn't honestly paid any attention to, Thailand and other countries. I suspect there are more there. And here's the thing that really worries me. When you're getting three Palestinian prisoners released for every hostage you turn, every kidnapped victim you turn back to Israel, you know, there's a business plan there to get more Israeli hostages, and that is not good news for the Israeli people.
Not at all, because they might make more incursions to try to grab some more. And in fact, if they can, they'll try to grab some of the Israeli defense forces if they get a chance to overpower them. Well, if the Palestinians are now told that you've got to continue to go south because we're bombing, destroying the northern part of Gaza, you've got to go south. They were told that earlier before any bombing began. And now the forces are now advancing upon the south because they know that's also where Hamas is. The question has to be as to, if you ask anyone, where would they be safe? Well, one reporter said the answer is slim.
We know that more than 80% of the population of Gaza is already displaced. Many have gone to the south. Now, the Israelis have, over social media, put out a map showing hundreds of individual blocks that are numbered. And in theory, people can go onto that map. There's a QR code and know where is safe, where is not. The problem is most people in Gaza don't have electricity to charge their phones, don't have an internet connection, and therefore they're very much really left to their own devices. And of course, another problem is already the shelters, the schools that have been converted into shelters in Gaza are already crammed with people, as many as 400 to 500 people per toilet, if there's even a toilet. And therefore, when they hear that the Israelis are going to expand their ground operations to the entirety of the Gaza Strip, that really doesn't leave anything anywhere for anybody to go that could possibly be safe.
You have to feel for those caught in the midst of this, but if Hamas were not using them as a shield, they would not face that situation. And again, back to former National Security Advisor John Bolton said, watch, Biden continues to slide away from Israel.
With the initial pause now behind us, I think Israel's best judgment here is simply to proceed militarily to achieve the objective it says it wants, which is the elimination of Hamas. I think the second guessing by the Biden administration, the efforts to prolong the pause, to turn it into a full ceasefire, are objectively pro-Hamas, because it denies Israel the self-defense right it has to eliminate the terrorist threat. I think that's a kind of terrorist veto. And I think when you take the position that Israel can defend itself, it just can't defend itself very well, you're setting up an impossible task for the Israelis unless they just continue to pursue this on their own.
And that's not going to be good enough. If they're going to be allowed to defend themselves, they'd be allowed on every level and every way possible. That should be the answer. You want an example of how the progressive left, though, continues to push Biden and others into a corner on this? Justifying what Hamas did? On the State of the Union on CNN this weekend, anchor Dana Bash made a point that is not going to get her a trophy from the Palestinians, progressives, and those wanting to destroy Israel or all Jews.
It's kind of remarkable that this issue hasn't gotten enough attention globally. Widespread use of rape, brutal rape, sexual violence against Israeli women by Hamas. I've seen a lot of progressive women, generally speaking, they're quick to defend women's rights and speak out against using rape as a weapon of war.
What she just said is not what the left wanted to hear. And some of these acts of barbaric rape are continuing to come out. One woman by name stating, "I saw another beautiful woman with the face of an angel, 8 or 10 of the men beating, raping her. She was screaming, 'Stop it, I'm going to die anyway from what you're doing. Just kill me.' And then one shot her in the head. They caught another young woman near a car. She's fighting back, trying to keep them from ripping her clothes off. They took a shovel, beheaded her. Another one spoke about pelvises being broken, women shot in the breast and vagina, then shot in the face to mutilate them." So that was something Dana Bash was saying. Why aren't we hearing more about this from women on protecting women, this rape, this action of rape, not an act of war, but rape, a criminal act? And she was raising the question with one of the progressives, Yahya Paul, Congresswoman of Washington.
I don't know that that's true. I think we always talk about the impact of war on women in particular. In fact, I remember 20 years ago, I did a petition around the war in Iraq.
Have you talked about it since October 7th?
Oh, absolutely. And I've condemned what Hamas has done. I've condemned
specifically
all of
women.
The actions. Absolutely. The rape, of course. But I think we have to remember that Israel is a democracy. That is why they are a strong ally of ours. And if they do not comply with international humanitarian law, they are bringing themselves to a place that makes it much more difficult strategically for them to be able to build the kinds of allies to keep public opinion with them. And frankly, morally, I think we cannot say that one war crime deserves another. That is not what international humanitarian law says.
That is not what she was saying, and you know that's not what she was saying. But that's how they want to wrap it all up. And I'm looking at response now from even a Democrat member in the House. Even Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida wrote, "The only balanced approach is to condemn sexual violence loudly, forcefully, without exceptions. Outrageous to anyone for both sides' sexual violence." But here was Yahya Paul saying, "Well, we got to look at what Israel's doing." Dana Bash tried to refute it.
With respect, I was just asking about the women, and you turned it back to Israel. I'm asking you about Hamas, in fact.
I already answered your question, Dana. I said it's horrific, and I think that rape is horrific, sexual assault is horrific. I think that it happens in war situations. Terrorist organizations like Hamas obviously are using these as tools. Mm-hmm. However, I think we have to be balanced about bringing in the outrages against Palestinians. Yeah. 15,000 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes, three-quarters of whom are women and children.
And it's horrible, but you don't see Israeli soldiers raping
Well, Dana,
Palestinian
I think
women.
we're not. I don't want this to be the hierarchy of oppressions.
Right.
I think 15,000 people have been killed.
Nobody is disputing a hierarchy of death versus rape. But that's what Yahya Paul and the progressives want to focus on. The Palestinians are being killed because they're being held by Hamas. And they want to ignore these rape of these women. And they don't want to discuss the hierarchy unless you're going to start with the death of the Palestinians. Ignoring the Israeli women who were raped repeatedly and killed in the process. Dana Bash, to her credit, tried again, but this... Dana, here's where you fail. You're too damn timid.
You don't see Israeli soldiers raping
Well, Dana,
Palestinian
I think
women.
we're not. I don't want this to be the hierarchy of oppressions.
Right.
I think 15,000 people have been killed.
It shouldn't
Palestinians,
be. And which is horrible.
2.2 million Palestinians live in a 140 square mile area, mm-hmm. which is about the size of Las Vegas, with a population that is four times that of Las Vegas, and 1.8 million Palestinians right now are displaced. They are living in shelters. They are being told to move to South Gaza. Then South Gaza is being bombed. They're being told to move to North Gaza. There are no homes left. Yeah. The vast majority of infrastructure has been destroyed. This is not the way that we are going to beat terrorism, whether it's Hamas or some future iteration of Hamas.
The question was what about the rape? I condemn it, but Israel's doing... No, you're not condemning a damn thing. You're washing around, acting like you're above it all. If any Israelis had done that to Palestinian women, you know should be in your face over it. All right, next hour, what if Biden wants to bring displaced Palestinians to the States? And before this hour is over, will Biden, Hunter Biden, be testifying this week? Up next, how your children could be in fake deep porn movies. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that Might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party. Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hard, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I have a story that you parents definitely need to pay attention to and watch closely. Haley McNamara is a vice president of strategy and communications at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. And she wrote a piece for the Federalist, and she talks about a 14-year-old by the name of Francesca. An email sent by her high school principal to her family October 20, just recently, notified them that their daughter was one of 30 students who had their faces digitally altered to appear in deep fake pornography, as if this child, this young woman, was taking part in a pornographic act or film. Is this AI? Or is it just some other attempt? But the bottom line is, it's disgusting and you need to know about it. Helping you fight against it, John Schweppe here, Policy Director for the American Principles Project. John, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Larry.
Now, this story about Francesca, that's just one of many that seem to be coming out.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's two issues at play here. Number one is pornography is absolutely evil, and maybe some of your listeners aren't totally familiar with how bad it's gotten, but I mean, this is really the depths of it, and they're not only, you know, trying to get our kids to watch it, but they're using images, and that's here. This is the second part of it, is this with the advent of artificial intelligence and with all of the technological advancement, you know, they're able to say, let's say you post on your Facebook, you know, a picture of you and your kids at a picnic. Some pervert could grab that picture, superimpose the picture of your kid on some AI thing, and then have images that they could basically use for, you know, to essentially digitally sexually abuse a child. And this is something that's growing. It's a real problem. Our laws, you know, are still trying to figure out how to deal with this because, you know, is AI child pornography? Well, the answer is yes, especially if it's a real image. And so, so I think that's something we got to really account for and hopefully
Before we go forward now, some of what you just told us, I've had thrown back in my face over decades in this business. If you report on a bank robbery, you report on a bomb device, we're not telling someone how to do it, but simply reporting it says you might encourage someone to do it. Now, by alerting the parents to be aware of this, how do you balance in your mind, what are we alerting them to? Or it's already the people that are going to do it, they already know how to do it anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I'll tell you is that you can't be sure currently with our laws that, you know, people aren't taking pictures of your kids that you post on Facebook or Instagram and using them in this way.
Sure.
Which is kind of horrific. And I think it's a good reason for parents. I'm certainly not posting very many pictures of my kids online for that reason. But
the problem is once you do it one time, they're always going to be available.
They're always there. That's correct. And so, or maybe even it's a situation where somebody else posts it. Right. And so then, you're stuck. But I think, Larry, what we have to do, and I was actually in Jefferson City recently working on this, you know, I think you have to pass legislation to really go after this online pornography stuff. I think it's gotten to the point now where this stuff is just completely damaging, not just to the people where they're getting exploited, they're having their images used against their wishes, all of that, but also to the kids that they're targeting to use this stuff. And so, we're seeing a rise in legislation to curb online pornography, to do age verification, to do all these different things. And I think we got to continue to pursue that.
One of the things that was pointed out in this Federalist article, again, this is written by Haley McNamara, Vice President of Strategy and Communications, National Center Sexual Exploitation, saying that even though there's notices that you be aware that this could be used to create sexual deep fakes, 95% notification, it's still being used. In other words, sometimes kids doing it thinking it's a harmless prank and having fun, and sometimes perverts, as you say, that just simply want to take a child and put them in such a situation. How are you going to deal with it? We already have tried to make it clear to kids, texting genital parts to another partner, friend, or whatever, that is a violation, can get you in federal trouble, but where else are we going to go with this?
Yeah, look, I think we need clear laws that make it clear that this stuff is illegal, right? I mean, you know, obviously courts will handle differently. You know, a 16-year-old sending a 15-year-old a naked image, you know, that's technically child pornography, but is it for that 16-year-old? It's a little bit confusing there. But it is certainly with adults, right? And so I think our laws need to be clear on this. And AI should not be some, you know, excuse like, oh, well, this isn't actually an image of that child being exploited. Yes, it is. It's their image. It's their likeness. And, you know, if we can't get actual criminal enforcement in place, then we should be passing laws to give the victim of this type of exploitation the right to sue and to really go after it if their image is being perpetrated on the Internet.
And if they can find the ultimate origin of it to begin with, and if they have any pockets, or then do you go after the source they used, the app or whatever they might be using?
Well, I think that's a good point too. Is with AI, should the AI developers be liable for this stuff if they're creating a program that does this stuff? I think it's an interesting question, but certainly porn websites that are perpetuating this stuff and allowing it to flourish up there and not doing takedowns when asked by some of these victims, I think they should absolutely be liable. And I think you'll start seeing legislation in the states and at the federal level, trying to create that liability to make sure that this doesn't happen.
You're listening to John Schweppe, Policy Director for the American Principles Project, billing itself as the biggest family lobby in D.C. Now, we talk about when they report it and they make claims, but how many, once they realize it's happened, are just too embarrassed to do anything about it? Just hope it will go away.
Yeah, in that case, in that situation, it's a lot like rape, truly, where you have, you know, a child who's been exploited and they're not sure how to deal with it, so they don't tell anybody, and then it continues to be perpetuated. Right. That happens all the time. You hear rape stories about that. And so You know, I think we need to recognize this for what it is. You know, even if it's an innocent prank, so-called innocent, you know, when you're sharing sexual material of someone, whether it's AI generated or whether it's real, and if that person doesn't want that being shared, they should have every right to have that taken down. And we need laws to make sure that they have an enforcement to be able to do that.
Well, the interesting thing about this story, I say interesting, it's shocking and distressing at the same time. When the high school principal sent the email to Francesca's parents, she was one of 30 students who had had it done to their faces.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's horrific stuff. And by the way, I just want to point out, you know, the author of that piece, Haley McNamara, works for an organization, one of the only orgs out here doing that, National Center on Sexual Exploitation. They're really uncovering these stories and putting them out there. It's happening every day. It's horrific stuff. And so I think it's really important to recognize that and hopefully gin up some desire to do something about it.
Well, what about, I mean, if you can create an AI to do it, can't you have an AI that would stop it?
You could have artificial intelligence that, you know, crawls the internet basically looking for this type of stuff. And, it could alert either federal law enforcement, it could alert AGs. There's all sorts of, you know, I don't think we have to necessarily be totally scared of AI writ large. There's going to be some really good uses for it. But certainly in this use case, you know, we don't want to see AI creating sexually explicit images of people without their consent. I think that's absolutely crazy.
Well, let's go back to the Protect Act. I know you're familiar with it. Congress had introduced that, which would require a degree of some consent verification before any sexually explicit material would be put up, but they have yet, they didn't work the first time they tried to get through. It hasn't been reintroduced. What happens next?
Well, I think we need to create a drumbeat in the states. Right now in Congress, there's kind of a, Congress has always lagged, I think, behind the states. And we are seeing this problem rising. You have 8 states that have already passed age verification legislation. We're hoping to see that rise to 20, 25, something like that in the next year. Then I think you can start to tell Congress, hey, we have a real problem. The states are acting. Internet law really is federal in a lot of ways. So we really need you guys to act. And hopefully that'll move the ball forward. But the Protect Act is excellent legislation. It would be a great start.
Now, I am going to raise, as a devil's advocate, the other side of that. Same thing with the Patriot Law. All for it. And then all of a sudden we begin to see it abused by the government and used against the citizens.
Yeah, that's why we got to make sure that this is crafted by legislators and by citizen activists and not necessarily by the corporations, but we need to put some privacy protections in there. Obviously, we don't want an internet where you can't be anonymous, where you can't, you know, have your freedom of speech. But at the same time, we do have to recognize there's a compelling state interest in protecting kids. And we also want to, you know, really rid the internet of some of this filth. So, it's a balancing act, but I think we can do it and do it in a way that hopefully saves a lot of kids.
You have children, correct?
Mm-hmm. Four.
Four. And I was going to say three. I couldn't recall. Yours are all, I thought they were certainly below 12 or something. Is that right?
Yeah, they're five. My oldest is 5 years old.
Well, how are you as a parent? I'm thinking about trying to do with this with my kids, and that's decades ago. How are you going to handle with your family, your kids?
Not what you
allow them to do, but what friends present to them in the last 30 seconds.
We're going to try to do as little on the screens as possible. I think, you know, really trying to emphasize books and that sort of thing, that'll be helpful. But the reality is, you know, I have young kids. Once the kids are out of the house, it's going to be tough to do that, and parents are in a tough spot. So we got to help them by passing good laws.
And instilling good values with them. John, I want to thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, thanks so much, Larry.
You bet, and we thank you for all that your organization is doing. Again, that's Sean Schweppe, Policy Director for the American Principles Project. It is billed as one of the biggest forms lobby groups in D.C., fighting for family values. All right, coming up, are we going to see Hunter Biden either deposed behind closed doors this week or maybe actually in front of Congress and in front of cameras? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter @LarryConnersUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President, she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Waking, buzzing, man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. Let you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What can you tell us about this email from a bank investigator? He's trained for looking for money laundering, and he's flagging all this suspicious activity in Hunter Biden's joint accounts. What is most damning here from your standpoint?
Well, this is a great snapshot for everyone in America to see what takes place in a bank making a decision to file a suspicious activity report against a prominent person, against a politically exposed person. Remember, banks don't want to file these, Maria, because when you do, it invites the bank examiners in. And that's the last people banks want to see are bank examiners. When you file a suspicious activity report against the son of a vice president of the United States, the bank examiners are going to fly from wherever they are into that bank the next day and look into this. So they wanted to make sure they weren't making any mistakes, but they understood the potential criminality here and the potential vulnerability to our national security.
And obviously, our national security is at stake when the son of the vice president, when he was vice president, we're talking about Biden, was making deals with China. And now that he is president, we're more at risk. So Hunter Biden, at last report, as you know, last week, was saying, I'll testify publicly before the House Oversight Committee. They want to depose him behind closed doors. And he said, no. his attorney anyway, saying, look, I know how you guys play those games, what happens behind closed doors. If he knows anything about, quote, those games, he's watched it from Adam Schiff when they were doing all their depositions behind closed doors in building the case to prove Donald Trump and Russian collusion got him the election, which we all know is a lie, and proven so. And every member on the Democrat Party side, or that was willing, more than willing, to see Donald Trump hanged from the gallows, would come out and say, well, I can't really tell you what took place, but I'll tell you this, it's going to be bad for Donald Trump. And of course, the state-controlled media ran with it every day. Every day. Oh, something else coming out of the closed-door meeting. No facts, just someone coming out and making a statement. And you know how we now know that everything they said when they came out and then it later even appeared on some of these state-controlled media as, quote, analysts and experts? Because the transcripts of those meetings were released. And basically the transcripts show that when they were asked specific questions as to what you know about Donald Trump and any Russian collusion, it all basically boiled down to, I don't know anything. Don't know anything. But they were more than willing to pose as analysts and even get a possible anchor job or something like that with CNN or MSNBC or any of the rest of them if they could just come out and find a way to hammer Donald Trump. I don't care if you hate or love Donald Trump. I don't. But you, even if you hate Donald Trump, should hate people who lie to you and they really think you're gullible enough to buy their lies. Those are the people you should hate. All right, so there are two things happening now with Hunter Biden. He is apparently going to testify one way or the other December 13th, next week. But is it going to be behind closed doors? His attorneys have said, we don't want behind closed doors. We want to do it in full public view of cameras and everything. They want a hearing like you've witnessed numerous times where each member of the panel gets a chance to ask questions and answer, maybe a 5 to 7 minute window, whatever they give them. Time's expired. Got to let someone else. In a deposition, it goes on and on and on and retracts. So an interesting proposition has come forward. All right, let's just televise the deposition. I will tell you this, it will, for the most part, be boring. Your name, where you live, blah, 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 basic stuff that no one would really care about until it gets to the nitty-gritty. And even then, it'll be going over and over because a deposition is trying to get all information possible to, quote, go to trial, either civil or criminal, or this case to move forward on charges against Hunter and possibly, the real point, evidence to impeach Joe Biden. Now, I'm going to be interested to see how his lawyers take to that. Okay, we'll just do the whole deposition in public. You want to do that? He has to appear, or he goes to jail. He may be willing to do that for a while. But at some point, Hunter's going to have to ask himself, do I want to sacrifice myself for Daddy? And judging by the character of what we've seen Hunter Biden, I wouldn't count on him doing anything to defend Daddy. He's the one who's put him in the midst of all this anyway. I'm not blaming solely Hunter. But the same token, he's been a very good initiator for the Hunter Biden crime family, the Joe Biden crime family. I'm looking at a piece why MSNBC points out in an opinion piece, there have been several coming out already, talking about, well, what personality are we going to see? Are we going to see the charismatic, good-looking guy that also does artwork that sells for who knows millions, a way to launder money again? Are we going to see the contrite guy? Well, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. Are we going to see the guy that has abandoned his baby and wouldn't make even alimony payments to care for the child? What kind of Biden are we going to get? I'm looking at this piece by Hayes Brown, an opinion writer editor from MSNBC. And, of course, they're talking about the impeachment inquiry launched in September. The House Oversight Committee issuing subpoenas to the president's brother James and his son Hunter. Now, then he adds, but rather than fight the subpoena, Hunter Biden appears eager, maybe too eager, to appear before the GOP-led panel. It was going to be a December 13th closed-door deposition into his past business and whether his father improperly used his influence while in office to boost those endeavors. We know Daddy took him with him on Air Force Two on numerous trips to China, elsewhere. We know Daddy because he even confirmed himself in a statement that he thought was funny that he got a Ukrainian prosecutor fired because he was investigating one of the companies Hunter Biden was supposedly working for. When I look at this piece by the opinion written by, again, by Hayes Brown, MSNBC, he starts talking in part about Hunter Biden and what he may or may not try to do. And he points out that demanding a public hearing is a dramatic and potential fraught play from Abby Lowell, who represents Hunter. He said, could such a hearing be embarrassing for Hunter? Yes. It's a chance for Republicans to bring up the very public scandals he's been linked to. It's a chance for them to talk about the contents of his laptop that got leaked in the 2020 election and basically, of course, covered up until after the election. It's a chance leaving him to face trial on federal gun charges. Remember, he pled guilty if it were going to be waived and no big deal of it, but then he had to enter a not guilty plea. It's a chance for them to raise questions about debunk conspiracy stories and theories involving his father. And basically says memories of all that are not going to work out for Hunter because he's basically going to put himself in front of them and make himself an easy target. You know, shooting a bird flying across the sky, even within range of your shotgun, is not always easy. But if it's just going to sit on the fence post, you should be able to get it pretty fast. And, of course, behind all of this is not just allegations, suppositions, a specially bought and created dossier, as the DNC and Hillary Clinton campaign did against Trump. These are actual documents that a bank examiner got into on behalf of his bank, and he recognized how big the threat was. James Comer.
When they saw the $5 million wire go to an investment fund with no investments, and that they knew that the Bidens had all these shell accounts, and they mentioned that in the email, these accounts where they weren't real businesses, they were just like dormant accounts. You get a huge $5 million wire in. So they obviously reach out to the president's son and say, Mr. Biden, what is this $5 million wire? We need to know, or we're going to have to notify the Treasury Cabinet of a suspicious activity report. He said, oh, that's a loan. And they're like, a loan from China? Okay, well, we need the loan documentation so that we can have that in the records for the bank examiners. And they said there were no loan documents. So the bank knew right away. China didn't send someone in the United States, especially the son of a vice president of the United States, $5 million as a loan without any loan documentation or without any terms of the loan.
It wouldn't happen, would it? Going to be interesting to see how the state-controlled media tries to ignore Hunter's closed-door testimony or even open testimony. They'll probably be reporting on a new camel at an Iowa zoo or something. Or they'll call up so-called conservatives to trash Trump. I have an example of that coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You say Donald Trump, if he is reelected, it will be the end of the republic. What do you mean?
He's told us what he will do. It's very easy to see the steps that he will take. People who say, well, if he's elected, it's not that dangerous because we have all of these checks and balances, don't fully understand the extent to which the Republicans in Congress today have been co-opted. One of the things that we see happening today is a sort of a sleepwalking into a dictatorship in the United States.
And that is from former Republican, very conservative Congresswoman Liz Cheney, warning that reelecting Donald Trump as president will be the end of the republic.
And that's why I wanted to include that CNN tag to her remarks. She was doing the interview with CBS, and CNN decided to run part of it and say that's part of the remarks from a very conservative Liz Cheney. Hold the laughter. Hold the laughter. Just accept what they said. I was really pleased the other day when I saw remarks by the actress who played on The Good Wife, you probably recall, from also ER, Juliana Margulis. She's a three-time Emmy-winning actress. She made a statement saying basically, and she is Jewish, railed against support for Palestine, adding that Adolf Hitler got his entire playbook from the Jim Crow South. Well, immediately she got criticized as if she were suggesting racism just by that remark. I was very proud of her to stand up and speak out against the progressives in Congress who are all about Palestine and Hamas atrocities and just explaining it away. Well, she caved to the woke crowd because immediately she got hit by many claiming that she was not just embracing Jews, she was attacking black community. If you're looking for a clear understanding, you're not going to find it. But she has since caved in, issued a public retreat, because she'd been also adding that on a recent podcast, if I offended the black LGBTQ plus communities, I truly love and respect. She had also added to that in her remarks originally, if you're LGBTQ, you'll be one of the first to be beheaded, which is true if you're in Sharia country. She also took that back. Now, I wish she'd stood her ground, but let me give you another actress who also made a remark, and she's also backtracking. Susan Sarandon. She appeared at a pro-Palestinian rally and claimed that American Jews are now getting a taste of what it feels like to be a Muslim in this country. In this country, the U.S. Well, immediately her agent dropped her, said, I will not represent you anymore. So now she also has decided my phrasing was a terrible mistake, that I belittled the history of Jewish persecution. Said, I deeply regret diminishing this reality. She had joined in chanting from the river to the sea at a November 17 rally in New York. That is, it called for Israel and Israelis to be wiped from the face of the map. But when her Hollywood talent agency, UTA, dropped her, she decided maybe an apology would make things better. I wish Juliana had stood by her remarks. And I'm glad Sarandon is paying a price for hers. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.